Contact us about a story which affects you or your community. Email us, outlook@bbc.co.uk. Now to another subject which we've tackled here on Outlook before, but normally from the female, not the male perspective. Circumcision is widely practiced around the world. When it's done to girls or young women, it's also described as female genital mutilation because it's usually an invasive procedure with often long-term and sometimes deadly consequences. Male circumcision, which involves cutting off the foreskin, rarely causes long-term problems, but some men in later life do want to have their foreskin restored. The National Organisation of Restoring Men was founded in the US, and this year its British branch, Norm UK, marked its 10th anniversary. Outlook's Peter Shevlin has been talking to members of Norm UK, and his report begins with a clip from the recent British hit movie East is East, in which the youngest son of a British Asian family is reluctant to be circumcised.
Come on, Sarge.
Oh, come on, Sarge. It's only a little operation. Won't hurt.
That's a clip from East is East, a comedy film set in Manchester, Northern England. When David Smith of Norm UK saw it, he didn't find it very funny.
My partner and I went to the cinema to see it. The reaction where people were laughing at the fact that this boy had lost his foreskin, at that point we walked out. It was just too traumatic. But everybody else in that cinema had not given that one single thought, which just really portrays the problem in this country. Nobody thinks about it.
Norm UK was set up to help men who have been traumatised by this experience by offering support and help in re-stretching what remains of their foreskin to try and remedy the effects of the circumcision. Every few months, the group gets together to discuss the issues they've got. I went along to meet some of them.
Good morning, everybody. I'm David, as you probably know, and we're here to talk about... Well, really, it's your forum, so anything that you want us to talk about...
It struck me that David didn't actually say the word circumcision when he opened this meeting. The word alone was traumatic for him. But one man, John, was more forthcoming about his operation.
I can remember having had an infection which had cleared up, and I had no symptoms, I had no problem. But on the morning before my 9th birthday, I was woken up early by my parents to be taken into hospital. When I was being wheeled away to theatre, the nurses were giggling, and they found this very funny, obviously. Oh, you're going to be done up now, they said. They obviously knew what was going to be done to me, and I didn't. And I finally woke up on the morning of my 9th birthday, when I'd been expecting to get an electric locomotive for my present, which I was really looking forward to. But what I was greeted with was a horrible, hideous mutilation of my penis. I'm appalled that anyone can regard this as a minor thing. For the victim, it means a lifetime of mutilation, disfigurement, and dysfunction.
At these meetings, people also recount how they can't get changed or go to the toilet in public because they are embarrassed about their circumcisions. One man that is no longer embarrassed is Laurie, who has, with the help of Norm UK, restored his foreskin over a 2.5-year period. He is now aware of what he was missing out on.
The bulk of my penis had about as much feeling in it as a rolling pin would. The only way I could get sensation was from the glands. When I came to orgasm, there wasn't really a lot of sensation there. And I used to think, it sometimes, you know, is this all there is to it? What does everybody go on about? All this marvellous business called sex. But it never occurred to me that there was anything wrong with me. I assumed that this is what other people felt. I now know that isn't the case. And because I'd lost 75% of my neuroreceptors, when I orgasmed, I didn't get proper sexual relief. So what the situation was, I wanted to go again 5 minutes later because I hadn't got rid of everything, as it were.
Some people might quite like that. That wasn't the case.
Well, it might be if the world goes bang for you. right? Or the ground shakes. But when you're getting very little out of it, not really. I mean, this sounds horrible, and I would like to apologise to my wife now. I mean, to go 4 or 5 times a day would not have been unusual. I thought this made me a super stud.
It sounds pretty good from what I'm saying.
No, not at all. Because I didn't have the feeling to go with it that you do. If I had, that would have been wow.
You would have been a super stud.
I would have been a super stud. So we have sex less frequently now, but the quality is so much improved, and the sense of sexual release is such that I'm not left with that niggling feeling afterwards that I haven't got rid of everything.
One thing that concerns Norm UK is that many boys may be being unnecessarily traumatised by circumcisions which they say are perfectly avoidable. According to John, there are tens of thousands of operations taking place each year in Britain.
The figures seem to be conflicting, but something like 10 to 20,000 times a year on the NHS in England alone, and on recent figures the number is increasing rather than decreasing. And it's simply down to medical arrogance and ignorance that two-thirds of the boys who are having this have nothing wrong with them at all, and two-thirds of the remainder could be treated conservatively if the will was there. This concern was noted by the House of Commons Health Committee, but nobody seems to want to do anything about it.
I'm here at the British Medical Association to ask Dr. Michael Wilkes about circumcision, and in particular, whether it's true that unnecessary circumcisions are being carried out.
There is hardly a reason to circumcise a little boy for medical reasons, because those medical reasons don't exist. We do accept as a wide definition of medical reason and the benefit medically that comes from that, that the Jewish faith have a strong tradition and therefore a strong claim to continue this practice.
Medically, what reasons would there be to circumcise either a youngster or an older person?
In the vast majority of cases, for instance, of non-retractile foreskin, which is a developmental thing, it just takes time sometimes for the tissue between the foreskin and the glands of the penis, the sensitive part of the penis, to break down so the foreskin can be put back. It's often a question either of time or a very gentle manipulation, certainly not surgery.
So the people of Norm UK that feel as if they've been circumcised for the wrong reason, in the past, do you think doctors have circumcised for no good reason, maybe?
Yes, I do. I do, and I suspect that some people from Norm UK, those who are not members of a strong Jewish tradition, for instance, or maybe slightly less persuasive, but certainly a Muslim tradition, the majority of people who have been circumcised in the past for what were put to them or that were put to their parents as good medical reasons were probably no such thing. And those people certainly have a right to make a claim that what was done to them was an unnecessary and premature intervention at a time when they had no capacity or say in the matter.
But what about people who are members of a strong religious tradition that demands circumcision? To find out a little bit more about faith and circumcision, I've come here to Hendon Central to speak to Rabbi Jeremy Rosen about how circumcision affects his faith.
This station is Hendon Central.
Circumcision actually is the first commandment that was given to Abraham. And so from the earliest dawn of Jewish culture and civilization, circumcision, male circumcision, has been the first act that a Jew does to enter into the covenant of being part of the Jewish people 8 days after birth, unless, of course, there's any medical problem, because medical matters, threat to life, take priority over everything else.
Do you believe that the illegality of female circumcision means that male circumcision is a double standard?
Absolutely not. I do not believe for one minute that you can make any comparison between female circumcision and male circumcision for this reason. Female circumcision is the removal of an organ, and it's a removal of pleasure. nobody I know, including myself, has ever claimed that being circumcised means you can't enjoy sex. So circumcision does not deprive a male, to my knowledge, of any organ or of any experience, whereas in the female case it does. And that's why there's been absolutely no mention ever, ever in the Jewish tradition of female circumcision.
These people from Norm UK would argue that that they do lose some sexual sensitivity because of losing the foreskin. And that's why they regrow it, and they've been quite successful in regrowing their foreskin. And they now have increased pleasure from sex. Do you think that this is enough grounds to warrant not having circumcision in the Jewish faith?
I wouldn't take it very seriously. Believe me, I enjoy sex, and most circumcised men I know do. Of course, you might argue if I were to take Viagra or if I take LSD, I might enjoy it more. But it's not been known throughout history. On the contrary, you know, anti-Semites always claim we Jews are too lustful and we're raving after women all the time, so it doesn't seem to have done us much harm.
Male circumcision is clearly a complicated area, with ethical, medical and religious considerations to be taken into account. But Norm UK are clear about what they're going to be doing to help people. Where do you go from here?
First of all, we're trying to get education packs out to doctors to say that there are alternatives. Please stop doing it. It's not necessary. Then we've got to educate about the damaging side of it. And finally, we've got to give a voice and an outlet to those who have been damaged, either physically or psychologically. We've got to give them the opportunity to talk and to address the damage.
And that report by the BBC's Peter Shevlin.